want answers?
I think I'm entitled.
You want answers?
I want the truth! You can't handle the truth!
Dave Hodges is as mad as hell, and he's not going to take it anymore. Senses not so common. This is the Common Sense Show with Dave Hodges.
Hi, this is Dave Hodges, and I'm sorry I couldn't be with you this evening, but the show is in great hands with my friends Doug and Joe Hagman, who host the best show on radio right here on Global Star Radio Network, and their show airs, as you know, from 7 p.m. to 10 p.m. Eastern, Monday through Friday, in the same way you're listening to me right now. You can listen to Doug and Joe and their great list of guests. The show is brought to you by a number of people that make this broadcast popular. First of all, let me tell you about my good friend Steve Quayle, who is converting useless cash, or soon to be useless cash, into precious metals. And you know the devaluation's coming. You know the Feds are raising the interest rates. You know the deep state is not going to allow Donald Trump to go through with these reforms without trying to collapse the economy first. Don't get caught off guard here. Let Steve help you out. You've got discretionary money. Go to Steve Quayle at Precious Metals, Renaissance Precious Metals, I should say, and I want you to give him a call tomorrow at 406-586-4842. Again, that's 406-586-4842, and tell them Dave Hodges sent you. We're also brought to you by Ready Made Resources and my good friend Bob Griswold. And Bob is at the forefront of getting you ready for anything that you want in terms of prepping. All your prepping needs are right there at your fingertips. Simply go to readymaderesources.com. The phone number is there on the website. You can look at a fine product line, everything from night vision to communications to water filtration. Bob has it all. Again, that's readymaderesources.com. Well, you know, in the upcoming times, you're going to need food, water, guns, gold, and ammo at minimum. Well, we can help you with the food. Best storable food company in the world is Numana. Mike Adams from the Health Ranger has done a comparison test between Numana and all the other competitors, and Numana wins on every single dimension. Find out why. Go to the website at numana.com/Hodges. Also, I think you're going to find you're going to really, really like what we're doing here with Numana, because we're giving you 5% off your purchase price. Simply use the coupon code Hodges, NOV5. Also, the Be Candid app. You know I love this. Oh, do I love Be Candid. Why? Because you don't want to end up like me and be denied employment because you have political views that don't agree with the loony left. Well, I've got a page on BeCandid.com, the Common Sense Show, as you might expect. And we're getting all kinds of people signing up, and I think you're going to really like what happens there. You can be totally anonymous. And I know you might be a year or two away from retirement. You got a boss that's more liberal than Hillary Clinton. There could be a number of reasons why. Simply go to any of your Play Stores, like Google Play Store, download the Be Candid app. It's free. You can use any moniker that you want. Just don't use your own name, because that kind of defeats the purpose. And we'll be right there. Go to the Common Sense Show and sign up for my page. Again, that's becandid.com. Love it. You don't want to miss it. It's really, really terrific. Also, we're sponsored by TradeGenius.co. My good friend Bob Kudla, really, really knowledgeable man in terms of helping people through the tough times economically. He's a great financial expert, good financial advisor. And find out why. People just don't leave this guy. They sign up and they stick to him for life. TradeGenius.co. Anyway, that's it for the sponsors. Let me return you to my good friends, Doug and Joe Hagman of the Hagman & Hagman Report. Anyway, Doug and Joe, thanks so much for covering for me.
Actually, this is Dave. For litigation and subpoena purposes, my name is Dave Hodges of the Common Sense Show. How's that for start not? So anything we say that could very well be, well, of litigation.
Dave will be liable.
That's right. So my name is Dave Hodges of the Common Sense Show. I want to welcome. I'm kidding, folks. You know what? Dave Hodges is such a gracious man. And Todd from the Global Star Radio Network, who works 24/7. You know, it's just incredible. What a schedule that man keeps. But we do. Joe and I are here. We are the normal hosts, we're the regular hosts of the Hagman and the Hagman Report. And Dave asked us to take over his show tonight, which, what was he thinking? Hopefully we don't let him down tonight. We've got a great show lined up for you tonight, I think. And I think Dave would agree and be, he left us the keys to a show. He said, here. So what we did was we get
the first hour open, yeah, yeah. News and analysis.
Joe, I was actually trying to think of something funny to say for hours 2 and 3. But
no, hour 2, we have Josh Kaplan from Vessel News. And then hour 3, we have Stephen Menking.
Oh, yeah, you're going to
an economist and much more from the Amateur Society. Both of these gentlemen have their finger on the pulse of current events and among other things, and we're going to, you know, run the gamut on what's going on in the country and the world, both economically, right, politically, and spiritually.
You know, I would put those two men up against any men, any journalist out there, and I think it's fantastic. And again, once again, we want to thank Dave Hodges from the Common Sense Show for allowing us to take his platform tonight. We're honored to be here. We're humbled. I feel very honored to have his to have his platform, and we will attempt to do him proud. So anyone listening, regular listeners of the Dave Hodges of the Common Sense Show, please give us an A+. If not, oh well, we're going to try. Anyway, first, a couple of things out of the gate. Joe, news heavy week, news heavy weekend. A couple of things out of the gate. I did write me. This is Doug now. I wrote an article for HomelandSecurityUS.com, which I'm bringing back into the fold because we have a litany. We've got a team of investigators who are working undercover to infiltrate various socialist and communist groups throughout the country. So it's going to serve as a portal of investigative results. That's going to be copied on HagmanReport.com, and it's just going to give you inside information you're not going to get elsewhere. That's number one. Number two, the article that I wrote today, we'll be getting into that in a minute if that's all right with you, Joe. But first, I want to touch on something that I think is extremely, extremely important. And InfoWars reported on this, and I think Dave Hodges may have had, I know we've had Mike Zullo on our program. I've spoken to Sheriff Joe Arpaio in the past. I've known this. And this, I've known about this, but it did not, I didn't know this was coming out today. I've known about it. And this goes back a number of years now to when yours truly, me, Doug Hagman, at my office, I received a ring back on the phone that, on the caller ID, momentarily, just briefly, showed NSA Utah, or Utah, I don't recall it. It indicated it was from a data collection center operated by the NSA. All right. I said that because of this. Alex Jones came out today, and it's on the front of Drudge, linked to the front of Drudge, where he said, look, NSA documents prove surveillance on Donald Trump and Alex Jones. This bombshell discovery shows targets of NSA's Project Dragnet. Now, where did he get this information from? Mike Zullo. Okay? Specifically, the formerly the sheriff of Maricopa County, and Sheriff Joe Arpaio from the office of the sheriff. It's my understanding, they were given this information about Project Dragnet, where Donald Trump and others associated with Donald Trump, as well as Alex Jones and people close to him, were under surveillance by the NSA. Not only for phone conversations, but for financial information, including most likely bank account transactions, credit card transactions, and tax filings. Joe, I mean, okay, so let's open this up for discussion because this is so important. You've got NSA surveilling patriots. Now, this began well into the third year of the George W. Bush administration, and it continued on, according to the notes here, through 2010. But let me emphasize one thing. These are the only years for which Sheriff Arpaio had the data. You're not going to tell me it stopped in 2010. I'll tell you right now, surveillance does not, and I've done surveillance 30 years as an investigator, have done surveillance. I understand surveillance. I've been with people who have done electronic surveillance on the state police level, on the federal level. I've been there. I've seen what they do. Now, admittedly, this is a number of years ago. The technology changes, but generally speaking, the tactics don't. The methodology does not. So I said all of that just to say this. The NSA, the government, they are keeping track of what you are doing, what people are doing. And there are levels, of course. If you are a politician, for example, you're certainly rated at a higher level than we'll say, I don't know, another profession, but a talk show host or a columnist or a journalist, the government, the NSA, the deep state, they want to know exactly what you know. Not only do they want to know what you know, they want to control the narrative or control the conversation. So this is extremely important for people to understand. And to most people, this is not news. But to some people, especially those who don't believe, for example, that this is an issue, are you kidding me? And I don't care if you do nothing but speak with your elderly grandmother and ask her how she's feeling today. To me, the intrusiveness of surveillance is shameful, it's sinful, it's unconstitutional, absolutely unconstitutional. And the surveillance apparatus that we have, I truly believe, must be dismantled. And if we don't dismantle it, it will overtake us. Joe, feel free to jump in here anytime, man. I mean, seriously.
Well, you know, I was looking over this report on InfoWars about the NSA surveillance, this Project Dragnet, and the Project Dragnet database that indicates the NSA was conducting electronic surveillance on Trump and his employees, as well as many other people. And one thing, you know, this might be new news and information to some people, but the article goes to point out several times where places like Reuters and other news organizations covered this, and you know the one here I'm looking at is from 2013 in August from Reuters. U.S. directs agents to cover up program used to investigate Americans, and you know, as important as this is to understand that this unconstitutional, warrantless surveillance of American citizens, from everyday Americans to people in business and technology and banking and places of power. You know, this is not news, or not new.
No,
per se,
it's not
but
new.
It is important. At the same time, when I look at the dialogue in the news media, both in the mainstream media and the alternative news media, what, if anything, would this information yield as far as our current political discourse in this country? That's what I'm thinking, and I don't think as important as it is.
Yes, to me that's secondary to the fact that it's being done.
But see,
and
as
I agree
you
with
said,
that.
we know this is being done since the inception of the Department of Homeland Security, and you know,
however,
for all time.
I agree with you that most people, most rational human beings, know that this is being done. There's number one. There's a level of acceptance which for one, I can't tolerate. And number two, there's a level of reluctance to believe it. Now, this is very personal to me for a number of reasons. Because, again, I go back to that time period a number of years ago, 2013, one of the most tumultuous times in my personal life, and this happened to me, and you know, I'm not going to get into that except to say that, you know, people are saying, well, it was a lie. It was a lie. Okay. Or to me, just, you know, prove it. Excuse me. How can I prove it? You know, that to me, how can I really prove it? And to think, for example, let's say you've got, there are a couple of types, and we should probably talk about this. There are a couple of type of wiretaps, because this is on the shows today, the Sunday morning shows.
Yeah, I'm so sick and tired. I mean, the double standard in the media is just ridiculous. And anybody who's listened to this show, the Common Sense Show, for any length of time, knows that the mainstream media have gone off the deep end.
Well, but just to be clear, yeah, and you're right. But to be clear, there are more than one kind of surveillance or wiretaps. There's a FISA warrant, and that is a court that think of national security. The FISA, FISA, the Foreign Intelligence Security Act of 1978. That's FISA.
Yeah, and Brzezinski talked about this in his book from the 60s about phone surveillance, phone monitoring of all Americans, how no phone conversations are safe. He even went on to say that the written letters, people writing letters and sending it through the U.S. Postal Service, has no expectation of privacy.
Absolutely.
And that's been monitored for a long time. And then you look at the technological advances we've had in the last 10 years, up until today, with this Internet of Things, everything, you know, smart TV, smart washing machines, smart refrigerators, smart phones, all these appliances and things that we use that are connected to the Internet work as a two-way system, meaning not only can you use the phone to call somebody, your microphone can be turned on and you can have conversations monitored by third parties without your knowledge. Same thing with the, you know, the TVs. And so on. So we are, I mean, the Project Dragnet, the name for that says it all. This is a all-encompassing, I mean, if they want information on you, unless you're, you know, even if you're outside, they can pinpoint satellites on you, and it's just crazy.
We've come. And isn't it funny how people like Stephen Colbert, you know, that he makes fun of appliances eavesdropping on you.
Well, FBI and CIA even came out and said your microwave or your refrigerator can spy on you.
Of course.
Like 4 years ago.
And you know, it's funny because I'm sure there are some people out there listening. I don't really remember this. I think that my grandmother might have had an ice box. Okay.
Yeah.
As opposed to a refrigerator, an ice box where you actually had a block of ice underneath the unit, and it was just an insulated box with a block of ice, and that was your refrigerator. Now your refrigerator does all sorts of stuff, and you can watch TV on your refrigerator. What's that about?
Yeah, I heard Laura Ingraham last week on Friday do a segment about this. You can actually, through these new smart refrigerators, watch the food inside your fridge as these new smart refrigerators with the TVs on them have cameras inside, so you can monitor your closed refrigerator and the food inside.
No, I mean, that's if you're at the grocery store and you can't remember if you have to buy cheese or something like that, you can. That's the story, right?
Yeah.
Okay.
I don't buy it.
I don't know, but. Okay, you got the FISA part, the Foreign Intelligence Security Act of 1978. That's national security. And then you've got your Title III courts, your federal courts, your warrants. And then you got lower courts, but I'm talking about the federal level. So there's two types of warrants. There's criminal, which would fall under Title III. A reference to the U.S. Code section. I'll just leave it at that without getting into too much detail, and then you get your FISA. So people have to understand the difference. Now, with respect to FISA, if you, to think, for example, if you are a citizen And Cheryl Atkinson had written a book called Stonewalled, where people think it's simple. You file a Freedom of Information Act request, and the expectation is the information you get back will be yes, there's records, or no, there's no records, or you know, whatever. It's going to be truthful, right? I mean, seriously? At some point, you've got to realize that, no, it's a linguistics game people are playing here. Anyway, I just wanted to bring that out. I do believe what Jones received here, the information from Michael Zullo, having known about this for a while. I didn't know it was going to come out this weekend, and I didn't know the years or the specifics. I knew that there were papers there, and I know this extends into the present day. So, although it's only from 2004 to 2010 that's listed from the documents obtained by Michael Zullo, this goes through the present day, and as a matter of fact, a lot more activity, is my understanding, is going on through the present day.
Not only that, but what Obama did before he left the presidency was allow 16 other government agencies to view NSA data without privacy protections put in place, meaning what the NSA collects on people, they used to have some standards, and they would take third-party names and information out of people they were monitoring before they handed it off to other intelligence agencies. But now they're just handing all the data over to anybody who asks for it, from the FBI to DOJ to DHS.
That's right.
And this is, you know, a big problem there. And I'll go back to the word dragnet. This is the biggest. I mean, there's nothing that can be kept secret. You can't expect any privacy in your home. And it shouldn't be this way. You can't expect any privacy anywhere. As long as you have, you know, you're carrying around a phone with you, on or off, you're sitting around a computer, you're sitting around devices.
Well, Comey said it. There's no more
privacy. There isn't privacy. And it's really sad. But again, going back to, I mean, everybody should be aware of this. At the same time, and this is very important, and Corsi was the person who wrote the article that's on InfoWars, but we have to understand that this unauthorized monitoring by our government has only increased since they, you know, since the Department of Homeland Security, since 9/11. Anything that has to do, anything that the government wants to find out about you, they will, under,
that's right,
you know, national security. And with these new terror, not new, with these terrorism laws. And as screwed up as this is. You know, it's not, sadly, it's not going to gain any traction. It's not going to be in the mainstream news. It's not going to change after this information has come out showing. I mean, there's detailed information in this article, in this report. And it shows the extent of which, I mean, this was before he was even considering running for president or any public office.
Well,
so you have to ask the question, why? Yeah. And if it's just because, you know, just because it's part of their surveillance, my question would be, what isn't part of their surveillance at this point? And we know that with the new technological advances and the algorithms and programs that are created, computers can sift through a lot of this information, catalog it, so these agencies can go back and look at it anytime they need to. Or if your name pops up for any specific reason, they can go back and read all your emails from the last 10 years. They can hear your phone conversations. All this stuff is not just listened to and monitored. This stuff is recorded and filed and kept. So
I agree, it's a database
that is continuing to be built.
And I think that this took on new life after Obama. I think George Bush and Dick Cheney, you know, I'm so sorry that I ever applauded the, I ever favored the creation of the Patriot Act. My goodness, you know, going back in time, I think we could have done. We should have followed the Constitution at the time, and we didn't do that. I personally got caught up in the, you know, in the patriotism. And
well, how easy was that for people to get caught up into? We saw the Pentagon and the two Trade Center towers hit with planes, at least the two Trade Center towers.
Yeah.
And there was a massive terrorist attack. Everybody was nervous and worried, and they had the story in a nice little bow. They you know, sold us a bill of goods. We still don't know what's true and what's not true from 9/11, and how much of that was fabricated in order to roll out this new surveillance police state system that they have.
Exactly. And in case you're tuning in late, you're listening to the Common Sense Show. No. You didn't tune in wrong. You're listening to the Common Sense Show. Dave Hodges is taking a well-deserved night off. And Doug Hagman and Joe Hagman, we are taking over his show. We've actually... Well, the story is he's taking a night off. Actually, he's duct taped to a chair across the office. We've commandeered his office. So, well, folks, we're going to be right back after this. I just wanted to see Todd. I just wanted to see Todd rush for the buttons. That's all. I'm just kidding. I'm kidding. I know this guy. I know the program clock. I just wanted to see if, you know, Todd would go rushing for, like, no. But anyway, no, you're listening to the Common Sense Show. Dave Hodges has kindly allowed us to stand in for him. But yes, back to this Project Dragnet, what's on InfoWars. I truly believe that this took on a new life. Obviously that the Butcher Own course you wrote, as you pointed out, Joe, spanned from 2004 to 2010.
Yeah, under Obama.
Right. But I do believe that as Arpaio, and you have to ask yourself, okay, how did Arpaio's office get these documents? And I do believe it was related to the birth certificate. Notice I said birth certificate creation. I'm not talking about the eligibility. I'm talking about the authentication of the birth certificate that was uploaded to the White House servers in 2013. Or, well, I'm sorry, when was that? 2012? Yeah, 2011. So I think that there was a new resurgence of the of this wiretapping surveillance, more accurately, of Mike Zullo, Arpaio, and that whole crew, including but not limited to Alex Jones, because Alex Jones also had Michael Zullo on before we did, and so this is a big deal. And they had to know I think the government had to know what they knew, and I truly believe Mike Zullo. Well, he even said he was under surveillance. You know, again, 7 ways from Sunday.
I guess the best way to word it is we're all under surveillance.
Right. Right.
Now,
exactly.
What you can prove, I guess, is where that would become actionable as far as showing the public. But it is interesting to see. And again, you have to ask the question, why? Why was Donald Trump, and he's, as I imagine, he is one of millions, hundreds of millions of Americans who probably fall under this category. But what was the, I mean, they don't need warrants to do this kind of surveillance. There are no courts or no probable cause.
Wait a second. Who doesn't need warrants?
The NSA.
Well, okay. Well, technically, they do.
Well,
but
they don't. Yeah, they don't. If they don't.
I mean, I understand that. Everything is being vacuumed up. In order to access it, of course, you would need a warrant to access it. But everything is being vacuumed up. So I guess in that sense, you would need a warrant to
use
to empty
court?
The bag.
Oh, okay.
Whatever, or to, you know, sift through the contents of the bag, and well, that even makes it sound messy. But you'd have to get a warrant to actually isolate the conversations that you're looking for, but or the data exchanges that you're looking for. But this, to me, is and as far as my personal situation is concerned, you know, I had somebody that demanded that I retract my statement about the NSA surveillance. Well, that person can wait until they turn to dust. Because I ain't retracting nothing, just because I don't carry a camera around with me. You know, how can you? It's just amazing to me. It's just amazing to me. Here, what we know in 2017. I won't even get into that. It's just ridiculous. But anyway, again, you're listening to the Common Sense Show. Doug Hagman and Joe Hagman sitting in for Dave Hodges. Now, the article that I wrote earlier today was about four brothers and the wives of two of the brothers. So there's six people. Just really quickly, it's the story of the Awan brothers, AWAN. And it's posted on HomelandSecurityUS.com. It's posted on Hagman Report. And it's also posted for your comments as well at CanadaFreePress.com. And what this does, or what this says. Now, this is not a news story, but from my source, okay, there's a little couple of refinements here to this particular story. The bottom line is this. There are three Pakistani brothers, Jamal, Abid, and Imran Awan. Imran being the oldest and, of course, the ringleader of the Awan brothers, they get themselves jobs at the House of Representatives IT department, computer department. Pretty cool, huh? You'd think that's a pretty good paying job. They became shared employees of at the initial behest of Debbie Wasserman Schultz, the head of the DNC, and of course others. A total of about 50. That's 50 House members, and although 31 are actually verified, they're said to be about 50 House members. The normal salary for a IT person at the House is about about $45,000 to $60,000 a year, that max. Well, when you look at the salaries of the Awan brothers, you're looking at $161,000, $165,000 per year. And Jamal, he started out at 20 years old. He was getting $160,000 a year to work at the House of Representatives. Now, again, Imran, remember these names. Imran, I-M-R-A-N, Awan, Abid, Awan, and Jamal Awan.
I'm going to remember that.
Okay. The Awan clan. Well, Imran, the ringleader, is married to Hina Alvi, and Abid was married to Natalia Sova. Good old-fashioned Americans here. Anyway, it's at the same time, concurrent with their employment at the House, and they're pulling down, you know, six figures each, with the exception, of course, of one of the wives, Natalia. I think she was part-time. She was only pulling in about $40,000, roughly. Yeah, I don't know, $35,000, $40,000. But they were escorted out of the Capitol building on February 2nd, 2009. Now, Imran had been working at the Capitol since 2009. What'd I say? February 2nd, 2017 is what I meant to say. Imran Awan was escorted out of the U.S. Capitol on February 2nd, 2017. They had been working, Imran at least had been working at the Capitol since 2009. And, Imran had been working for Representative Andre Carson, a Muslim in the Congress, and Jackie Speier. And of course, they worked for House Democrats, the Intelligence Committee, the Foreign Affairs Committee, and the Committee for the Department of Homeland Security. And they had access to all top level emails, documents, everything on the computers. So imagine that. They manage the Office of Information Technology for the House Permanent Select Committee on Intelligence. Well, they were let out of the Capitol building February 2nd, 2017 because of an alleged procurement scam, meaning that they supposedly had taken out of the Capitol building equipment that did not belong to them. But the scandal goes much deeper than that. It is not about them thieving stuff from the Capitol. No, 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 no. It's about their taking not just items, but information. Using the template, Huma. And Hillary. You see, what they did was they set up a server outside of the Capitol, and they had reportedly, allegedly, siphoned off information from the Capitol, from these three top committees, from these 50 Democrats, House Democrats, and more, at least 31. These four Pakistani nationals. Omar's in there too. Omar Awan, but he's kind of on the sidelines. And concurrent to their working, apparently, between $4 and $5 million over the course of, I think, 5 years, 6 years, maybe a little bit longer. That wasn't enough money for him, you see. because they also operated car dealership, or a car dealership, possibly two in the Virginia area as well. And that car dealership, had an interesting name that essentially played out to the acronym of CIA. Okay. One has to wonder what that was all about, but car dealerships, if you want a good front for money masking, a car dealership does fit the bill. People involved in investigating fraud understand the workings of that. But the bottom line is they were escorted out on February 2nd. Now, I would also like to note that on January 29th, 2017, we had a raid in Yemen that it almost appeared, according to some sources, that they knew we were coming. They knew we were coming. And we lost a Navy SEAL. 4 days later, these three Pakistani brothers are escorted from the U.S. Capitol. And everyone's saying nothing to see here. It's interesting because during this time, in March of last year, Jackie Speier, one of the House representative members, also requested that, hey, we need additional funding so we can give these brothers top secret SCI clearance. Okay. Oh, and as if that wasn't enough, and I don't know how this happens, you know, to have any type of clearance, you've got to have pretty good credit, right? You really do. Not exactly sure what happened, but we do know that, and I don't think I wrote about this, but I think it was within the last couple of years. Well, at least one of the Awan brothers had their car repossessed and stiffed their house credit union for several $1,000s. Oh, and not the least of which, they had allegedly taken a loan out from a guy by the name of Dr. Ali Al-Attar. He was born in Baghdad, but his parents were from Iran. So he was a first-generation Iraqi with Iranian heritage. When you look in the mirror, what do you see? I don't know. Anyway. But, Dr. Ali Al-Attar, a medical doctor, had his license suspended in 2009. Why? Because for a period of about 6 years, from 2003 to 2009, he was convicted of funneling money from the businesses to his personal account, from his medical business to his personal account, and alleged, it is stated, that he had was funneling money overseas, and he had connections to Hezbollah. Oh, and by the way, you'll find a really nice picture of Imran Awan with Bill Clinton. That's right. But I digress. The whole situation stinks to high heaven. It to me, you're looking at one of the largest, if not the largest, security breaches of intelligence in American history, right here, right now. And I've got to hand it to George Webb. That's George Webb from George Webb on YouTube. He was a guest on our program. The Daily Caller. The Gateway Pundit. Zero Hedge. Other independent organizations who have been on top of this story since day one. Kudos to each one of you. And George Webb does a tremendous job in explaining all of this on YouTube. But in my conversations with my DC insider, and Joe, I think you'll like this, a name kept popping up here. And it's every time I turn around, I'm hearing this name, and I'm thinking, now wait, why am I hearing about Andrew McCabe from the FBI? And oh, by the way, this investigation of the four Awan brothers that's being handled by the Capitol Police, not the FBI. Okay. I guess the 20 burglaries, that's the Capitol Police job. 20 burglaries related to the alleged procurement scam. But we're looking at something much larger than this. But Andrew McCabe kept coming up, and McCabe seems to be associated, obviously, with the Clinton email scandal, and why the Clinton email scandal is not, or the Clinton email crime is not being pursued. In my view, this is just my opinion, Andrew McCabe is the man behind slow walking everything, and I think that he's an enemy to Donald Trump, and I think that McCabe, of course, must be. This is my view, based on people talking to me from inside the Beltway. Andrew McCabe is a Hillary Clinton operative, and he's heavily involved in political surveillance. And I do believe that in this context, the four Awan brothers. I just Andrew McCabe comes at the base of everything that we've seen. That I've seen. But you've got, again, you've got a hard drive external server. You've got, this massive amount of top secret compartmentalized information reportedly accessed by the Awan brothers. You've got in that mix, in my view, the CIA, based on the car dealerships, the names of the car dealerships, kind of a in-your-face deal. And the CIA sets up such fronts all of the time. You've got the FBI slow-walking anything that has to do with Hillary Clinton. You've got Gregory Meeks, which the acronym is CREW, C-R-E-W. The Committee for Responsible, I can't remember what it stands for, but they call Gregory Meeks, Representative Gregory Meeks, the most corrupt, that according to this organization. But it all kind of circles back to and around the FBI, Andrew McCabe, and individuals involved, Democrats or progressive socialists involved in the House Intelligence, Homeland Security, and Foreign Affairs committees, that are turning over information, classified information, allowing it to leak out, turning it over not just to our enemies but to our media. And this is where McCabe, in my view, comes in as a political surveillance operative of Hillary Rodham Clinton. I know I didn't probably connect all of the dots because we don't have that much time, but there it is in kind of a nutshell. And I think that Trump, Donald Trump, was caught up in this. And by the way, George Webb, he does an amazing job of going through his videos and having storyboards. And he's been on the Hagman Report before. And he does an amazing job connecting the dots. But you've got to kind of go back and watch. His videos are like 3-4 minutes each. So there might be 100 and some odd videos or 200 videos, but you got to go back and watch it from the beginning. Where's Eric Braverman? And then he starts out there, and then he gets into DynCorp and other things. I think it's probably one of the most cutting-edge investigative YouTube pieces out there. So, but I also believe this, and there's a lot. And I know Judge Napolitano, and Joe, feel free to tell me what you think about this. Judge Napolitano said three sources had told him GCHQ, or the British equivalent of the CIA, had actually conducted the surveillance on Donald J. Trump. Therefore, the American intelligence agencies, all 17 of them, could say, no, we didn't have anything to do with this, but it was the GCHQ that did. My sources are saying, nah, not so fast, because the MI6 is involved in this as well, that meaning Israeli intelligence. And I'm not, this has nothing to do with the Jews. This is MI6 intelligence, which is, that's equivalent to the Vatican and the Catholics. Okay. It's two different things. But I do believe that there was a belt and suspenders approach used on Donald Trump. There was there definitely was a FISA attempt or a FISA warrant that was issued. We know that October, although it didn't name Trump, it was surveillance. This type of surveillance is kind of like hand grenades. Close is pretty good. So if Bob and Bobette are out, walking around or talking or communicating with one another, and you want surveillance on Bobette, you're going to get Bob too. Chances are. So you can say, well, the surveillance is on Bobette. Okay. And Bob will come in there as well. So was the surveillance on Bob? Oh, no. Now there are guidelines, especially in the FISA guidelines, that say, well, if your target is Bobette, really Bob, you can't really save all that information, but who's playing by the rules? So.
Yeah, so the...
Did I stray? I stray. You still with me?
I'm here.
We're going to be back right after this. I'm kidding.
You know, the more I've been paying attention to what's on CNN, what's on MSNBC, what's on Fox News, what's on the internet and the alternative media versus the mainstream media, the wiretapping, Trump made the tweet, Obama tapped, T-A-P-P, or tapped my phone. Or tap my, wiretap me, whatever. This story is important. I believe that is true, whether it was directly Donald Trump they tapped or members of his administration, I guess is irrelevant. And we're not going to, aside from the FISA requests, I don't know that we'll ever see evidence of that. And I don't know that it needs to be proven, and if it was, no, what that would matter.
And you know what, Joe?
It's like the Russia
spy. Right.
See, what bothers me about this whole wiretapping thing is how the media is constantly hammering the point that, oh, Trump lied, and we need proof, blah, 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 blah. That would be all well and good if they didn't make up this Russia story that they've been, using no evidence and stating it as fact. Hammering it down the throat of the American public till basically everybody who watches the mainstream media with an open mind and doesn't do any research is brainwashed into believing it's true. A few days ago, Democratic officials now warning their base not to expect evidence of Trump-Russia collusion.
And that, isn't that kind of the headline?
Well, it is. But all this is, to me, it's all a big distraction. We know that these people project. And this is where this stems from. They said Trump was colluding with Russians when, in fact, it was Hillary Clinton and John Podesta who were guilty through what Dave Hodges talked about and has written extensively about the Uranium One deal to John Podesta lobbying for a Russian bank making, $170,000 a year trying to get sanctions taken off of a Russian bank.
And you're right. Dave Hodges was the first. And I want to thank Dave Hodges of the Common Sense Show, which you're listening to right now. He was the first show. He even beat out Peter Schweizer, Clinton Cash, in revealing the Uranium One connection with Frank Giustra. So Dave Hodges was on the tip of that spear.
Remember during the campaign, they also accused Trump of raping a 12-year-old girl. That was when all the spirit cooking and Podesta emails and the Pizzagate stuff was heavy in the news. Oh, no, you can go back and find it. These people will accuse their political opponents of things they are guilty of so that when the information or evidence does come out showing that they were guilty of these crimes, they already, when people go and search for it online or talk about it, they have already laid out the groundwork, true or not, and most of these are not true, most of the allegations are not true, but they have already laid the groundwork to say, no, that wasn't us. That was the other guy. And what's infuriating about all this is the media, what they say, the fourth estate, journalistic integrity. All that has gone out the window. Just about everything that we see in the media now is based on personal opinions and feelings, not on facts or evidence.
Do you think it's just disgusting? Do you think that journalists ever had integrity?
Yeah, absolutely.
Okay. What about Woodward and Bernstein during Watergate?
I wasn't alive then, but from my
studies.
Yeah, from looking back on it, I mean, it brought down a presidential administration that was guilty of, you know, breaking into political offices and doing a number of different things. Whether that, I mean, I guess in today's standards, that is great investigative journalism by today's standards.
Okay, I'm glad you said that. By today's standards, Woodward and Bernstein, that was good investigative journalism by today's standards. Now, I think that's
sad.
Important. Exactly, exactly. Now,
Now we've expanded so much where, you know, people who are on the television who call themselves journalists are nothing more than paid script readers and paid to disseminate their own biased opinions,
yep,
regardless of which side of the political spectrum they're on.
Yep.
We have, I mean, you see all the stuff that's going on in the news today. What's really going on that's important? One, the security at the White House. You had three incidents,
yes,
in the last 6 days. You had two fence jumpers, one who was on the ground for 15 to 17 minutes, triggering multiple alarms before being caught. Last night or the night before, you had somebody drive up to White House checkpoint saying that they had a bomb in their car.
Yeah.
And to see the, and I wonder if one was a copycat or one of these people were playing off the other. But the one that concerns me most is the guy who was on the White House grounds running around, triggering alarms, and not being taken down and arrested for over 15 or 17 minutes. That's
and,
very concerning.
And then I hopefully we can talk with our guests about the very suspicious, and I'm going to turn it back to you, the Secret Service laptop, et cetera, that was taken from a New York city
yeah,
by borough home. But this does, I believe this also comes into play in the security and even worse, the email investigation of Hillary, Diane,
yeah,
Hart, which Clinton, go ahead.
And not see what's weird about that story is a computer was taken from a Secret Service car that had blueprints for Trump Towers on it. But it also said in the reports that it had Hillary Clinton email investigation or emails in there. And I didn't dig into this too much
now,
yet.
Explain to me
really,
why?
It makes no sense that you would have anything to do with Hillary Clinton on that computer.
And you know,
and then why it even would be mentioned if it was something that somebody was looking into
there
personally?
There it is. It shouldn't. There's two things wrong with this, as I understand it. And again, this comes from my unnamed source. You'll never get the name, so don't ask. But number one, every single piece of hardware, electronic hardware, meaning laptops or other devices of communication that are issued to the Secret Service, you are unless you know how to disable the pingbacks, they can be located within 5 feet.
Yeah. And we're coming up against the break. There was a Washington Post article on Friday, and I wanted to cover this. We'll hit this on the other side. Immigrants canceling food stamps for fear of deportation. The headline by the Washington Post was changed to immigrants going hungry for fear of Trump. Hey, I want to talk about this media manipulation and the lies. How to read through the lies.
Hopefully we can get into some of this with our next guest.
Yeah, Josh Kaplan from VesselNews.io is going to be our guest. Coming up next, you're listening to
The Common Sense Show.
Guest hosting today by Doug and Joe Hagman. We'll be right back. Stay with us.